Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. Mr. Rob Center has the week off. Matt Cotrillo is going to be our producer. And we're going to enjoy an open phones day on the Mark. Welcome on board On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. And please, I invite you to go check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us anytime for the next 90 minutes. It's 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Believe it or don't, we don't have any emails pending.
But we do have texts.
EB must have taken the day off. Please, wake up, sir. Yeah, but we'll take all comers.
Well, you can't sustain that kind of outrage 7 days a week.
He needs a break. Right. Today's his day off. EB has a day off. All right, so please do as he does and some all of our good letter writers. Send us notes at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at WKOK.com. Just go to WKOK.com, click on the link where it says Connect with Us, and you have a couple of choices there. You can sign up for emails, or you can sign up for the Text Connect system, and that's where you would receive from us breaking news information, no more than 10 or so messages a month, breaking national or local news, dead celebrities, closed roads, tornadic weather, that kind of thing. We send you a little note via Text Connect that goes to your cell phone and says, hey, there's something posted at WKOK.com for you, and you can check it out and then find out if it impacts you. For example, if you hear a section of a route 922 is blocked, you could look at that and say, I don't need to click on that. I'm not going there today. But other folks who are going to route 922, which I don't know where that road is, but you could find out. And you could click on there and find out where and why it is closed. That's what Text Connect is all about. But it's two-way communication. You can reply to a message at any time. We see them here in the newsroom, or we see them in the newsroom, and then we see them here in the On the Mark studio. So that's the Text Connect explanation. All right. Let's start at the top. Mr. Barr.
All right. Let's see here. This is one of our texters says, cover up Barr? Really? What's he covering up? Lay it out. Where were the prison guards that were in charge? Why was he removed from suicide watch suddenly? The security cams went down. Seems suspicious. Yeah, that Ellis Island award is given to racists.
I think the last sentence relates to something else.
I do, but there should be more, but I don't see anything else there where it would
that
fit.
Looks, the Epstein suicide is highly suspect.
Right, period. Yay, that Ellis Island Award is given to racists. Well, sorry, don't see it.
Okay.
Well, although he does say the Epstein suicide is highly suspect, maybe that was it.
Okay. Read the next one about Epstein since we're on that topic.
All right. Flight logs for Epstein's plane say Clinton was on Epstein's island. I guess the investigation will reveal things and get to the truth.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay. Well, that's Mr. Stan is 100% factual usually. Although this thing about the cameras going down, that was a hoax. That's not real.
That's not true.
No. But the fact that the guards fudged the records and said they had checked on him and did not, that is true.
Well, I heard on CBS this morning that he may have been dead for 3 hours before they found him.
Right. Well, not dead, but near dead. He was apparently conscious, or not conscious, but still, his heart was still beating when they found him. They started to work on him to bring him back, but that didn't work, and he died. If you know, but again, you know, all the early information you get out on these is always suspect because you just never know. You know, so half of it's rumor. This idea the cameras went down was rumor. The guards have been two guards have been suspended and the warden reassigned.
Right.
So that much is being reported today.
Apparently, that's standard operating procedure in cases.
Oh, is it
like
okay?
This.
Well, and suspended with pay, no doubt. And they have a good union, so if they have a good case because of short-staffed situation there, you know, not crisis staffing, but you know, tremendous staff shortages would create some real hazards for the individuals if that turns out
well,
to be true.
Well, you know, it does bring up some interesting points. You know, all these
with the Epstein, Jeff.
People want to spend all this money giving health care to illegal immigrants and all that. In the meantime, we're not funding the things we have in place. Like, we're not providing enough guards for our prisons. I mean, from the stories we've heard from one of our writers and on the news, that obviously they don't have enough people to do these jobs.
Who's arguing that we provide all this health care to illegal immigrants?
Well, I mean, every one of the Democratic presidential candidates, when asked if they supported providing health care to illegals or undocumented immigrants, if you will, all raised their hands.
They would support that. Okay.
Right. So, man, how do we afford all this stuff? Bertie wants to give away free college. Well, there's a couple of them want free college educations. But we're not funding the stuff we already have in place, and that seems ridiculous to me.
Maybe we could have a fair tax system. Would that work?
Well,
where
what
individuals,
would a fair tax system be?
Well, I think if we set out to have a proportional tax system where people who earn a little pay a little and people who earn a lot pay a lot or pay a lot more, I guess there's caps on it, but now it is you get up to a certain threshold as you approach $100,000, you pay your normal tax rate. You know, you get a deduction or two for this or that. But then when you make $200,000, you're going to buy a good accountant, or not buy, but, you know, employ a good accountant, and they say, okay, well, here's all these tax breaks. You put your money here, invest it there. Next thing you know, you don't have to pay any taxes. And then as you get to $300,000 and up into the millions, you don't have to pay any taxes.
I agree with you on that. I mean, I think if we close the loopholes, forget about raising the rates, the percentage rates, close the loopholes. There are no more deductions. You know, if you're going to do that, since everybody pays 2%, 3%, or based on your income, 5 or 10, whatever it takes. But then there are no deductions.
So that would bring in revenue that you're talking about. But then you still have to make the decision. If individuals sneak into the country illegally and are captured, to what extent do you wish to provide health care for them? Your ideal health care for them is to give them a quick checkup and back over the border they go with deportation. I don't know what these Democratic candidates are talking about.
What obligates us to give them a quick checkup? In other words, if I walk into the doctor's office and say, hey, I'm an illegal immigrant, I'd like a quick checkup.
If they need
will
it.
They give
I guess
one?
If they're perfectly sound and perfectly able and not ill, I don't think they need it. But if they're sick or something, there's nothing wrong with that.
Definitely don't want them coming into the country. We never, at Ellis Island, we used to reject people who were sick.
We'd
put them back on the boat and send them back to where they came from.
And how many people
got sent back? That's what we actually did back in those days.
No, I'm well aware of that. Right. Your appearance had to be perfect as you went through the gate when you went through the screening, because if you looked ill, or if you foolishly said that you were ill, they literally turn you around, and that was the end of that.
Right, and then everybody points out the fact that give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
As long as they're not ill.
As long as they're not ill, right. We should have put that proviso on there because we did send sick people back where they came from.
I think it was there, but they took it off. It just didn't seem like the right message.
That's
what the President Trump's new rules the other day. I saw people were having a big fit because they're changing the rules.
I have them right here.
Right, so, but I think that's codification of existing rules,
right. They've been in effect
for a long time. Okay. So, all right, well, we'll take more comers. So we are talking about President Trump, immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigration. We mentioned the Democratic candidates for president, and we can talk about other topics. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Something popped up in the news in western Pennsylvania after that daycare fire that killed 5 children is that the State Health Department doesn't have to check for smoke detectors. You would think you can't do that in Sunbury or Northumberland. You have to have smoke detectors in your home to get a code inspection for a rental property, not for your, I guess you don't necessarily have to have, if you're just going to live there by yourself, it's certainly a good idea. You would need to probably get an occupancy permit the very first time. But then after that, you could disable them. But in whose world is running a commercial daycare in a home with dozens of sleeping children? Is it okay that you don't have any smoke detectors? And what kind of a daycare operator doesn't want them?
I don't know. You changed topics on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyways, that was in the health.
It certainly doesn't make sense. I'll agree with you.
Right. So I'm just saying these are the things that people can comment on if you'd like to. That popped up in the news. Governor Tom Wolf is talking about money for charter schools or revising charter schools to make them a little less incentivized in the school district that have to have higher standards.
Well, why don't we discuss San Francisco, where they have covered up that they're going to cover up that mural and take it down.
Read the first sentence, and then we'll take the break.
All right. The San Francisco School Board on Tuesday voted 4-3 to cover up a controversial 1936 George Washington mural at a local high school that includes images of slavery and the killing of a Native American.
All right. So
sad facts, but they were facts in our history.
Right. No argument there. So we'll talk about that. 1-800-795-9565. Any of those items on which you would wish to nibble, give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. We will be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you.
Your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. Expires D31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Tom dialed it up, and he's good to go. Good morning, sir. You're on the Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to try to straighten Lance out on this drunk driving thing.
Okay.
Last week, he made a remark that just blew my mind. And I couldn't believe he said it, so I actually went back and played the tape of last Friday where he said it, and he actually said it. I mean, it's a fact. He can't say he didn't say it. He said there were 235 drunk driving deaths every day. What he said.
Okay.
If you take 235 times 365, that comes up to 87,000 something people killed every a year drunk driving. 87,000 something. But if you go on the National Highway Traffic Safety Division, who keeps track of deaths, in 2017, there were only total, this is total deaths from everything in driving, there were only 37,133 deaths. So Lance's figure is 50-some thousand people more than the amount of people that got killed total. And what it comes out to, for drunk driving, it comes out to 30 people a day, one every 48 seconds.
You mean
that's what it comes out to.
If his numbers were correct, you mean?
Those are correct numbers.
Well, those are the correct numbers. Okay.
30 a day is a correct number, not 235. I don't know where he came up with that, but it's on tape if you want to listen to
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's drunk driving accidents per day.
I wondered about that, too.
Or drunk driving charges, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where he came up with that. And then on guns, I'll give you another statistic where he's wrong. So we have 30 a day for drunk driving. Now on guns, now this is off of the Center for Disease Control, the CDC. They keep track of gun deaths. In 2017, there were 39,733 gun deaths by gun. 60% of them were suicides. 37% were homicides. Now, if you take 37%, if you take 37% of 39,733, you're going to come up with 14,775 or something. I don't have the numbers in front of me. And if you divide that by 365 to get the day, you come up with 40 a day. So there's actually 40 people a day murdered by guns and 30 people killed by drunk driving. So Lance can keep coming on here and playing this game all he wants and try to minimize guns, you know. He comes up with swimming pool deaths and all this other stuff. But those are actual, factual numbers from government sites.
Okay.
They are. That's what the government says. I didn't get them out of a Cracker Jack box. Those are the numbers. 40 people killed by drunk drivers a day, 30 by gun. Or yeah, yeah, 40 by guns, 30 by drunk driving. Those are the facts.
Okay.
So that's still
so. Lance can call up and he can try to debunk it. And I don't know where he's getting his information from, but I can show him if he wants to meet me. I can show him where I get my information. I'd like to see where he gets his. I really would.
So what's the deadliest way? What's the deadliest issue that we have to address in the U.S.?
Well, I both of them.
Okay, but guns are worse.
Well, guns are worse. Yeah, that's 40 a day, and
okay,
drunk driving is 30.
Well, 40 a day is a bad weekend in Chicago. That's where a lot of
no, it's not.
It's an average
no.
weekend.
An average weekend.
It's an average, Joe. It's not 40 a day exactly.
Get it right,
a day.
Get Joe. Use
no,
the right adjective.
I'm
will
just
you?
Saying. I agree with you. I think if you look at Chicago alone, and places like Baltimore, the inner cities where all these gangs and drug wars are going on, it's easy to see how guns would be much more of a danger than drunk driving. I agree with you.
And drunk driving, I mean, there's laws. You're not supposed to do it, but people do it. But, you know, it's the same with guns. You're not supposed to shoot people with guns, but people do it. So yeah. One's as bad as the other.
Well, unfortunately, people rob banks, and we have laws against that. We have a lot of laws that people break. That's why we have people in prison. Unfortunately, people don't always follow the rules, Tom.
That's right.
All right. Thank
I just
you,
wanted
Tom.
To straighten Lance out, but, I mean, I know he's going to come on here and say that, well, there's more deaths with swimming pools, and
okay, well, we'll give
him
that opportunity.
Tries to minimize it some for some reason.
Actually, he's next in line, so he's responding to you. So keep your radio tuned up, and you'll hear what excuse he comes up with.
Oh, come on! He'll come,
right.
What sound reasoning he brings to the show. Thank
hey, Tom,
you,
Tom. Thank you for calling.
Appreciate that, Lance. Go right ahead. You're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you bet. Why, anyway, I think everybody took my figures. To be drunk driving deaths, I was talking about overall alcohol deaths, which are exactly what I said they were.
You mean not just drunk driving, but...
right, uh-huh, uh-huh.
What, consuming yeah. too much alcohol? What else? What's what? Another alcohol? It'd have to be 100,000 deaths or 200,000 deaths, right?
Well, it's almost 100. The least you're going to find is says 86,000, and the other year... the CDC had what was on the radio, television, everything about 93,000
deaths related to alcohol annually.
Related to alcohol,
but
yeah.
But how do they determine this that it's related to alcohol?
Well, some frat kid jumps off the balcony at the frat house.
All right, there's killed. One.
Said,
all right.
Was that?
How
and
about
now, wait a minute.
Somebody
now,
drunk
look,
falls into a swimming pool, right?
Well, no. Well, yeah, sure. But, I mean,
what about cirrhosis
that,
of the liver?
Talk. Come on,
no, I'm just asking.
Well, yeah, we're talking about that, too.
Cirrhosis, so somebody medically would have to say that this was induced by drinking. I mean, there are two types of cirrhosis. One's involved with drinking, one isn't.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that the ones that are verified, I mean, this was, I had it on, I think, CBS and about everybody. I think about 3 years ago it was 93. It's actually more than that. But if you go on the internet, you're going to find that 86. So
I think Tom's point is if you subtract out things like suicide and personal decisions that lead to your death and you just look at people who are killed by guns and people who are killed by drunk drivers, that people killed by guns far exceed those killed by drunk drivers.
Right. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm saying caused by alcohol altogether. Uh-huh. You know, and I can point to probably 25 men that I've known that their reason, they died from something else brought on by excessive drinking.
Right.
This is what I was getting at.
Okay.
All right. And here's something you can look up, and it'll pop right out at you, really. The number of people killed with assault rifles, right, is 7% of the folks who are killed by drunk drivers. Because if you take a look at about 300, Bromberg says 400, but there isn't 400 murders with rifles altogether. So if we're using the figure of 300, what does that work out to? 3,500, 3,600 people die in drunk driving accidents that weren't doing the drinking. That's what I'm looking
at. Sort of innocent people.
Right.
Passengers or the other driver,
right,
kind of thing.
If you say take the 10,000 average drunk driving deaths we have, and a third of those weren't, you know, weren't doing the driving, and that works out pretty much.
All right, we got you.
So that's, now I'm sorry that it construed that way and the way I was coming across, because I guess everybody got that, and I apologize for that profusely, because I was using the total number of people that die one way or the other from alcohol.
All right, we got you, Lance. So let's not drink as much and let's not shoot each other at all would be sort of sound advice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very much sound advice. Well, also, if you take a look at your chances of being killed in a mass shooting is just about 30 to 1. Because if you figure, the worst year we ever had was 115 precious souls perished because some idiot shot them. I mean, in a...
in the
situation
US.
Of a mass shooting. Okay.
In the U.S.
Right. And there was, that year, about 3,500 people that died on the highway because somebody else was drunk. So there you are. You're 30 times more likely to get wiped out by them than a mass shooter.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to minimize the awfulness of mass shootings or gun deaths in general, okay? What I'm trying to show is the absolute violence that happens there, and then say, well, you know, the same thing happens 10 times a day in on our highway, and that's just as violent.
Gotcha.
Well, when you look at the number of abortions performed in the United States, those numbers are much higher.
Well, don't get me started on that.
Okay.
I mean, actually get me started on it, because...
So the total abortions conducted in 2008, which may be the last year that they have a record for some reason or another, in 25 states with the most abortions is over 1 million.
Your number, 2008.
2008, right.
Jeez.
The total abortions conducted in 2008 in 25 states with the most abortions is over 1 million.
The Department of Health is only 10 years behind in the statistics, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah. 1 million is one every 35 seconds.
Okay.
Just think about that.
So it may have declined somewhat from then, I would think.
Well, I have some figures coming through that says it's only about 600 and some thousand now. So we are making progress if that is true, and it is good news. When they feed you that thing about 75% of the abortions are because it just wasn't the wrong time or they couldn't take care of the kid. And we pro-life nutcases step up and say, hey, look, you know, we'll take care of the kid. Just, you know, give birth and step away, and here we go.
Yeah, you don't even have to do anything. Just leave it at the hospital. They have a bassinet
right,
at the entrance to the hospital.
And so. then we come back with, I believe in abortion for any reason, you know, like the wrong gender, you know. Because here we have some person, they're looking at the screen with the, well, let's say a 5-month, 20-week. And you see all the arms, the legs, mouth, nose, feet, the whole thing. Oh, my, wrong gender. I wanted a boy. So I guess we rip the legs off and suck into a tube and put her in a little jar.
Well, that's graphic enough.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Lance. Have a good one.
Don't tell us the reality of our crimes. Thank you, Lance. All right. I appreciate everybody's call. 1-800-795-9565. Yes, the topic of guns and abortion. None of these emails relate to that topic, correct?
No, okay. I looked up and someone sent it in at the same time. Of the 12 million people who passed through its doors between 1892 and 1954, only around 2% were deemed unfit to become citizens of the United States, and I assume that's for health reasons, and that's from the History Channel.
Okay.
Oh, you finally decided to turn my microphone up a little bit. Thank you.
Oh, well, no, just one channel. I would say our mixer's having a... Do we sound okay, Matt? Sounds perfectly good over here, he says. Well, his hearing shot anyway, so he's no help.
Better in my headphones now, I'll tell you that, Sonny.
I think your hearing aid is...
Dick says, sadly, three of the children who died in the daycare fire had a father that was a fireman. You would have thought he would have pointed out the lack of smoke alarms to the owner-operators of the facility. Go figure. Tragedy that he lost his children, but that's not a bad point. You would think that someone who has seen the consequences of fires up close would be critically aware of whether or not a place where he put his children had...
Yeah, it's a
detectors.
Possibility. But on the other hand, I think a lot of people put their faith in agencies that you know are supposed to help take care of kids,
true
like
enough.
The Department of Health or a code office or something like that, or the owners.
How would you even get permission to run a daycare out of your house without smoke detectors?
Honest to Pete. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the CBS News, and then we'll come back with open phones. We have another email pending, so we will look at that. And this is WDK, okay, Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Mr. Matt Catrillo is our producer. Well, I hope Rob Center is enjoying his day off, or his week off. He took a vacation to take Super Deluxe extra care of his time and his good dog that is ailing. So I hope everybody's doing okay in that particular family. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We still have two text connect messages left and one email, so we can read those. We talked about the lack of smoke detectors and apparently no code violation in a daycare with no smoke detectors. Believe it or don't, the State Health Department says they don't check for smoke detectors, so that's not part of their inspection of daycares, believe it or don't. So, of course, that'll require a legislative change to get that done. So that's being talked about. We have President Trump was in Western Pennsylvania yesterday, either a campaign stop or an official presidential stop. I'm sorry to say I don't know which. They kind of morphed together. I'm sure there is a definitive word on it. Maybe some folks know, but he was in Western Pennsylvania. We'll read a little bit about that very shortly. We do have some news headlines, but I want to emphasize we have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. In the news today in the special election for the State House seat in the 85th District, there is a Democratic candidate, Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay of Sealands Grove. She believes that the building of a Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, a local community college, will be key to economic development and will help fill jobs around here.
We have educating the constituents, closing the skills gap, increasing job opportunities. There's so many jobs in our district that are out there available. We just don't have anyone properly trained to actually partake in that.
Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay is running on the Democratic ticket in the 85th District next Tuesday. She will be on WDKOK's On the Mark program Monday morning. We're going to have all three candidates here in our studios between 8:30 a.m. and 9:15. We'll have all the candidates in. We'll try to do an issue-oriented thing where they really dig into some of the issues that they feel are important. Property taxes, death penalty, gun control, charter schools, things along that line. We'll try to dig into issues with that. A fire chief in Erie, as we mentioned, says there weren't enough working smoke detectors at a Pennsylvania home daycare center where a fire killed five children. Fire Chief Guy Santone told a Tuesday news conference that state inspectors who check daycare centers do not look for smoke detectors. City authorities and state legislators are working on legislation that would make home daycare centers register with the city so it can deploy inspectors. A message seeking comment was left with the Department of Human Services. No callback yet. Santone said fire officials say the blaze that broke out Sunday morning is determined to be accidental and possibly electrical. Governor Tom Wolf says Pennsylvania needs to improve the operation and reporting rules for charter schools and wants to change the regulations and laws that govern them. The Democratic governor Tuesday directed his education department to develop regulations to limit enrollment for underperforming schools and to revamp admission standards. He wants charter schools to meet stricter transparency, ethics, and financial management standards to prevent them from overcharging public schools for their services. The Pennsylvania Coalition for Public Charter Schools says some of what Governor Wolf wants to do through executive orders and regulations isn't legal. The group says, however, it supports holding all public schools to the same accountability and transparency standards. Taxpayers fund the 180 charter schools, which are run by private boards in Pennsylvania. They enroll more than 137,000 students. And President Donald Trump took credit yesterday for a major manufacturing complex in western Pennsylvania in his latest effort to reinvigorate the Rust Belt support that sent him to the White House. He was cheered on by fluorescent vest-clad workers who were paid to attend by Shell, their employer, which is building the facility. Despite President Trump's claims, Shell announced its plans to build the complex in 2012 before the president even announced his presidential campaign. Barack Obama was president at the time. The event was billed as The event was billed as an official White House event, but Trump turned much of it into a campaign-style rally boasting of achievements he claims as president and assailing his Democratic rivals. Trump contends that America's coal, oil, and manufacturing businesses are back, and he deserves the credit. He's been focusing on the administration's efforts to increase the nation's dependence on fossil fuels in defiance of increasingly urgent warnings about climate change. He's embracing a plastic business at a time the world is sounding alarms over its impact. As for the cracker plant, he said it would have never happened without me and us pushing for that plant in western Pennsylvania. Trump also took credit for the addition of 600,000 U.S. manufacturing jobs, but the U.S. Labor Department says the number is only 500,000. The company was given a massive tax break to build the petrochemical complex, along with the $10 million site development grant, with local politicians eager to accommodate the multi-billion-dollar construction project. How about that? $6
billion. What are they making there, Ritz or Keeblers? What kind of crackers are they making?
Plastic crackers. Not the kind that we eat. It's funny. He says it would never happen without me. It started in 2012. He hadn't even announced for president yet.
Yes, that's but funny. It didn't come to fruition until he pushed it.
Oh, is that what you think? Okay, right. If only the facts even had a remote support of that. Read this, and then we'll go to the phones.
Okay. Rich says, I love how President Trump does all his press meet and greets going to the chopper. Now the leftist reporters cannot grandstand for TV time. Hope he does this all winter. They have to brave the elements. All you hear is them yelling leftist questions. Keep up the good work, Trump 2020.
Right. Yep, he's definitely running. All right. Right.
We have two phone calls.
Yes, we have Demos is on the line. Demos, are you the owner of the Bittner Building in downtown Sunbury?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is on your mind today?
My mind is, I wanted to tell my story, but I want to meet you to tell the whole thing. But now I want to ask, you asked me last time what I want to do with the building, all right?
Yep.
For 11 years, I tried for the community college. Mr. John Shipman knows for the first time I meet him, the mayor, Jesse, on February 2009. And still I'm trying for those. And I want to ask, those 12, 13 people sit down on the council mirror table every two Mondays. What they want? What they gonna do about the Salisbury? For 12 years I'm here, they not do nothing. The Salisbury going down and down and down. So that's up to them to do something to bring the Salisbury back on the track.
Okay, so you're saying Sunbury City Council doesn't do anything to help the city?
Well, for 12 years, what they did in the Sunbury, you know, foreclosures, remind me the Coney Island in New York. They took in the Coney Island, and now they build it. They took them for nothing, because I know a guy got three blocks in the boardwalk through the Surf Avenue, and they took him for nothing because the guy can't afford to pay the taxes and the insurance.
Okay.
You think they're not making that trick in here, too?
But if you can't pay the taxes, you can't own the building. I mean, why buy a building if you can't afford the
taxes?
If they
destroy the Coney Island, shootings, fires, and everything, nobody going over there. They're not making no money. So, like in here, who's going to rent the place if no people coming in here to bring new blood for the town to making something?
Okay, so you want Sunbury City Council to do more.
What do you have in mind? What do you want them to do?
Well, to try to start it to bring the people and the business in the town, because they got the slogan, no buying the Sunbury.
Well, but I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last
What's
sentence.
What's the slogan?
What was the slogan? What'd you
no
say?
No buying nothing in the Sunbury, you know, bad place.
Oh, nobody's buying anything in Sunbury, it's
That's
a bad
not
place.
The slogan.
You know, because the slogan, oh, you're going to buy in the Sunbury over there? Last time I met in the Home Depot, Greek lady over there, and supposed to buy in the Sunbury. And they said to her, no buying the Sunbury, I'm sorry. They call it no Sunbury, they call it Scambury.
Well, I know that's what people sometimes call it, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But do you belong to Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated? It seems to me they're doing quite a bit to try and bring the city back.
Well, I was before, but I have a meeting with SRI. We won the Butler Community College. We're making so many meetings. But they, I don't know, they tried to treat me, to break me economically, to lose the building and take the building for nothing. And I hope the FBI take an investigation for that.
That they're trying to take the building from you for nothing? That Sunbury SRI is trying to take the building from you for nothing?
You know, before, was the Christine little lady tried to help me. After taking over the Mingan back, all the times I'm go over there, she asks me, you sell the building? You know, she's taking the place, not for us to sell the building, but to do something for the building.
Gotcha, okay. And you've put a lot of money and work into this building and improved it. I haven't seen it lately.
You see, the thing is, I pay my taxes and cost me more, and I bought the building. But I don't want to betray myself. I still made my dream to make a community college not only help me, but to help the people of the Sunbury.
Okay. Well, let's just say that won't work, that a community college isn't going to work for whatever reason. What would you do with the building then? I mean, I think some people would just like to see it developed. It's right on the main drag. It's the centerpiece of our downtown.
All right, nobody coming to see me to talk about it, because, like I'm saying, they try to make me break me economically to lose the building. I think in my mind they try to do that.
But Demos, you're the owner of the building. Why aren't you taking a more active role in finding a client for it?
I'm telling you, we go with Sunbury, we go to the community college over there in the Butler. We have nothing happened.
Okay.
If you rent the building and no people here, you think the person you rent my building is going to stay 1-2 months in the business?
But that's not the only use for that building, is in a community college.
Oh, I spoke to the ex-mayor person about the Edison generators, and you see, and the police department are going to go on the first floor. That's 36,000 square foot.
All
and
right.
Plus, the building, you know, from outside, and five more stores.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for this. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your phone number. We'll call you back, and we'll talk about it. We'll sort of piece together a time frame. So hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. All right. Matt will get his phone number. We'll call him back, and we'll get this going. Let's take a quick break, but we have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. That caller particularly wants the city to do more about his Bittner building that's at the corner of 4th and Market Streets. The building, not precisely an eyesore, but certainly hardly fixed up or in good condition. So he's owned it for a decade with no work yet.
Well,
on
if you're
it.
Not a Trump fan, it's not a building you'd want to look at the moment.
But there are a lot of people that are pulling for its usage for something. I mean, it's certainly been brought up and talked about quite a bit. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. We will be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%. In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno. Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain. See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF Financing in lieu of rebate. Expires D31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. One of our listeners, about a caller yesterday, says, hey, Bob, you have a serious case of TDS, which is?
Trump Derangement Syndrome.
What laws have been broken by President Trump? You really need to stop watching CNN.
And then another one says, Mark, not a good response. If Trump was truly a racist, you could say exactly what he's done. You had all day to look for it. My question was, what has he done to harm people of color who are United States citizens?
Yeah, I don't know. What about the folks in Baltimore? Well, I guess he only said disparaging things about them. It doesn't actually hurt you if you say that.
But he was speaking in their defense.
In a rat-infested.
Right, but he was talking about conditions that exist there that he thinks should be changed.
Right, so that doesn't hurt them. Okay. Well, I guess if people are going to make a case about his alleged racism, there we go. If they're going to make a, they should probably start back in the 70s when his company was sued over and over again.
Okay, well then in the 80s or 90s he got awards from black institutions and black leaders for his help.
Right.
Do they cancel each other out?
He takes, three steps backward and goes one forward and gets
No, but I mean at the time he wasn't the only one being, you know, taken to court for not running to blacks or not selling to
black
people.
What about all Mexicans being rapist? That doesn't strike you as somebody
who's
bigoted.
Mark. He said that they're not sending their best here. They're sending possibly rapists and
criminals.
Don't give them the good people.
Don't water it down. Sorry, Joe.
But that's what he didn't say. He never said.
What about at Charlottesville where he said there's good white supremacists?
He said there's possibly good people on each side. How do you know there aren't?
Okay.
I mean, no white supremacist who advocates violence is a good person, but could a white person who doesn't advocate violence be a good person?
And his comments about the women of color, that does not bother you. You think that's perfectly objective thing to say.
What terrible thing did he say about them as women of color? Their race was exactly the reason he said.
Send them back to their.
He said if they
send them home.
He said if they have a way to improve conditions, they should go back to where they came from, improve them, and then come back here and show us how it was done.
Right.
You could call that a racist remark if you want to, but in effect, he's saying to them, "You find so much wrong with this country. Tell us how to solve it. How to fix it."
Don't you find yourself in a difficult position trying to defend President Trump's racism?
I don't try to defend it. I don't think it's racist. I think he should not have said those words. You don't ever say to anybody, go back where you came from in this country, because we all came from somewhere else.
So you don't mind being in that position, defending his racism?
I'm not defending his racism.
The Muslim ban.
His alleged racism. It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was a travel ban.
Well, he said it. He wanted a Muslim ban, and here's how he's going to do it. He's going to ban.
He had
a dozen countries.
Why did he ask for it?
Because he knows that Muslims are terrorists. All Muslims are terrorists,
not
and he doesn't
all of them.
Want to. Well, no, he believes they are. That's what he said. No, I would
I
go back.
Show me where he ever said all Muslims are terrorists.
That's
Give
why,
me that direct that quote,
was
please.
The, that, well, see, now I'm going to rely on your faint reasoning. That was his context. He was talking about terrorism. He says, but don't worry, we're going to ban Muslims. And then when it came time to implement a policy, it got whittled or watered down to a travel ban. But his goal was to ban Muslims. So, I don't know. You're on very, very thin ground here if you're trying to defend the president's racism. I think we should just stipulate that he is. That's the obvious.
Well, you obviously want to do that. And I'm not willing to do that.
Well,
I wouldn't stipulate
fine.
You're a racist either.
And his base
Can
does not mind
you're
that. You're in his base, and you don't mind that.
I am
you,
not in his base.
You know,
I didn't vote for the man.
I would think deep down you think it's a character flaw he has, but it's not a deal breaker because you and other people who support him are interested in the good things that he is doing, and I have already listed those six things. I'm not listing them again. Out of the hundreds
of
things.
Six things. Well, boy, what a concession you're making. Six good things.
Well, I'm not blind. I'm just kind of directed. But in any event, the fact is people write it off. And, you know, it plays to his base. And that's why he says there's good people on both sides, because he didn't want to say, well, the only good people are the people who are fighting back against violent white supremacists.
All right. Are there bad people on both sides?
Right. It's a perfectly unequivocal
statement that
covers it all.
Antifa are people? Are you uncomfortable justifying Antifa's successes?
What about the Central Park Five? You don't think there's an element of racism there?
Well, there certainly was.
And okay.
I think that's a stain on him, to be honest with you.
Okay. So that's
that
one of the six racist things he has done.
Again, we discussed this. Do you want to be judged by the worst thing you've ever done in your life or the biggest mistake you ever made?
That
mistake. The difference between
compounding.
You and I is we might say, hey, I made a terrible mistake, but Donald Trump doesn't seem to be capable of doing that. He doesn't seem to be capable of self-introspection. I will make that concession to you.
1-800-795-9565. Lance, you get a minute. Go right ahead. We're talking about the president's racism.
Well, no, I came back to talk about state-approved homes.
Okay.
I think that's what I put on there.
Go right ahead.
But if you talk about there at Charlottesville, there were good people there.
On both sides, right.
There's a lot of good white supremacists
out there. I know that to be true.
Right, from the Virginia Historical Society. I know because my sister knew folks who were part of that.
Mm-hmm,
and that, so there were people there good on both sides. And then he denounced the skinheads, and he denounced the Nazis. That does not include that.
Right, so they were.
I have the transcript of that bugger. That's for sure. It was.
They were carved out.
And then the New York Times wrote a fair headline, and then they had to retract it because the left went bananas.
Not the left. Yeah. Anybody okay. with any kind of a memory.
All right. Okay. Well, here's what I'm talking about: is many years ago, Joan and I took care of some foster kids, and our home was really well inspected, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to fires, we not only had, actually they wanted two smoke detectors on each floor. Okay.
Yeah, and usually they want them wired together.
Oh, well, no.
So if one goes off.
Battery operated, too. They didn't want any that were hardwired.
Okay.
Also, the room that we were approved to put the kids in was the one you could get out of easy when it came time, you know, if we did have a fire. And we had little rope ladders. A kid had to know how to use it. And also we had fire drills.
Okay.
However, now what I want to think about is this was a private foster care agency, and maybe on their own they did this.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
Sure.
All right, well, thank you very much.
The state hated us. I mean, boy, we got both barrels from the state all the time.
Gotcha. So, all right, thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. Frank, you are on the mark.
No, I just want to compliment Lance there. I was listening to the fire drills. My dad, even though you know we were just a family of four, mom and dad, fire escapes, patterns, the drill, yeah, dad taught us, and that was passed on to me. And when I'm with youth groups, I want them to be aware that you know, safety's first. Oh, anyway, here's a proverb for you. Proverb 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." And a wise man keepeth his words and speaks them in due season. Look it up, Proverbs 29:11. That, to me, is Trump's Twitter account. That's Trump's blabbing all the time, his chopper talk before he's taken off. He likes to scream over the chopper. You know, there is one thing that bothers me more than Trump himself, is those who are trying to defend his foolish words. that's my final comment.
All right.
Take it from there.
We got it. Thank you so much, Frank. Thanks for the call.
I think someone should send that Bible quote to the president. Or maybe the next prayer breakfast, that should be the theme.
Doesn't strike me as somebody particularly religious, but
look,
maybe he is.
As I've said before, I don't defend his words.
I think you
but
do.
I don't condone the twisting of them that you people on the left seem to want to do.
Oh,
all the
my
time.
Gosh, let's go.
One
please.
Of our writers says, Mark, I find it really disappointing that you twist what the president has said. Joe is absolutely correct. He did not say all Mexicans are rapists. He said they are sending many bad people. I notice you do this all the time. I follow news much as Joe
does. Not
an
exaggeration.
No. I follow the news much as Joe does. If the president would say something way out of kilter, I would certainly notice. He has never been given a chance since becoming president, and it's a shame.
Well, I think partially because of his behavior, but I understand what you're saying about the media hyper-scrutinizing. There's never been a—I thought Jimmy Carter got it bad when he was in. President Trump's getting it twice as worse.
Well, there, you're admitting that there's a problem.
Well, he is being hyper-scrutinized, but he brings it on entirely himself. I mean, they don't follow him this closely because they never find anything offensive that he says. They never find anything racist. No, they call him out for being racist, and they call out his offensive remarks. Because they're racist and offensive, and anybody can see it. And if you don't, and if you're a strong follower of hers, like our good letter writer, and you choose not to see it, that is perfectly okay. That is your prerogative. You know, if you are a racist, bigot, humiliating, aggressively offensive person, that is perfectly legal in the U.S. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to defend him, and you don't have to defend yourself. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
You amaze me.
Oh, do I?
Yes, you do, because let's face it, you can take a statement that the man makes and twist it any which way you want to, which you have done. Writer there points out, quite frankly, he never said every Mexican was a rapist. He never said that. You know, you choose to take what he did say and construe that as some vile, horrible, racist comment.
Right, and you choose to turn a blind eye and write off and rationalize all of his remarks.
So is it possible so you could say something like that and not be racist? In other words, that's prima facie evidence to you that the man's a racist because he says some things.
So if I went through the WKOK files and I came up with a dozen things that indicate that he is racist, you would have a rationale for all of them.
No, I don't think I would. As I've said to you before, I find what he says, much of what he says, unfortunate.
But it's just coincidence that he's saying these things. It has nothing to do with actually being a racist.
I don't think he is. I don't think they would have given him, the black community would have given him awards in New York for his help. If he were a racist, I don't think he would be doing things. And I said to you before, name me one thing, and you can't do it, that he has done that has harmed American citizens who are people of color.
All right, we'll have to. I'll keep working on that one. I haven't worked on it yet, but I'm sure we can come up with something. What about the birther movement here?
How did that hurt the American citizens?
Well, the last time I checked, President Obama is a person of color, and he did everything he could to make sure that the birther movement had momentum and that it would hurt President Obama.
And that he came out later and admitted he was wrong.
Oh, yeah, no argument there. Eventually, once he's found out, once the emperor has no clothes, he definitely admits it. I agree with you there. You know, he does turn himself around on these things as soon as he's called out on them.
Not always.
You know, as soon as it reveals his true nature, he definitely backpedals. I mean, look at what you guys just mentioned again about the Baltimore. You know, that there's no mention of colored people that live in these neighborhoods. It's just the city itself.
He was talking about
the terrible representative that hasn't taken good care of them.
He was talking about the leaders of the city not helping the people. Right, not helping
the
people in the community. Now, they've been in power in Baltimore, the Democrats, for many years. If it were the Republicans, I'd say the same thing. I'm sure there are cities where Republicans are in charge, where it's been bad. I think the government works best when there are Republicans and Democrats. That's why I like the county commissioner system in this state.
Okay.
That there you have to have representation from the minority party.
So if President Obama is black and the president says, well, because he doesn't look like he's white and he wasn't born in the U.S., so we are certain that to be true, that has not hurt a person of color in the U.S. The president was never in any way injured or Well, it was never an injury in any way.
Have you
from
heard
the birth
of have you heard President Obama's comments about President Trump? Have that hurt? Have they hurt him?
No. Answer my question. This is yes or no.
That is the give and take of politics, my friend.
As a person of color, has President Obama been in any way injured by President Trump? Okay. What about the Central Park Five? Would you say the Central Park Five were in any way disparaged or treated negatively by President Trump?
Well, no, not by President Trump, but by Mr. Trump.
By Mr. Trump.
Yes, they were.
Ah, okay. Well, there's five people of color right there.
But he was talking about...
So now we're up to five.
He was talking about the crimes that they were alleged to have committed, that they were actually convicted of committing. Rightly or wrongly, they were convicted of
it. But they're...
And in his opinion, having been convicted for the heinous crime that they were convicted of...
So there's five.
Whoever did it should have faced the death penalty.
What about when he would go on the floor of the casino to make sure there were no blacks in plain sight on his staff members?
I don't remember that.
Right.
Where did that come
from? Well,
that was as president of the United States?
No. That was...
My question was, as president of the United States, tell me one thing he's done to harm United States citizens of color.
My question. We'll have to keep working on that one. Yeah, a lot of the things that he does are really targeted at foreigners, people that aren't white, from outside the U.S. You are absolutely right. Dan, your latest task as a good Christian man is to defend the president's racism. Please go right ahead.
Well, I don't have to defend him. He is no racist, and he's taking care of all people in America. He's raising everybody up. We're all better off than we were before he was elected. But you know, Frank quoted a scripture about a fool opening his mouth. And, you know, I might be accused of defending Trump, but when he does open his mouth, he has a reason. And a lot of times the reason is it sets the press on fire and makes them look stupider than they are, and that's almost impossible to set off the left-wing press and make them look stupid. I think any informed person out here in God's country knows how the left-wing press is completely off their rocker. All they do is anti-Trump every night and every night and every night, the same old, same old. But talking about the fool, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 1. It says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God, capital, with the capital G, capital O, capital D. The fool has said, there is no God. And a lot of these news press are atheists. They say, there is no God. That means the God of the Scripture, the God of the Holy Bible. So where are the biggest fools at? Every time Trump speaks, he mentions the God of Scripture. He said, God bless America. He mentions God. I'd never seen a Trump rally, and I watched probably most of them over C-SPAN. He always acknowledges God as the one that made America great. He didn't make America great. He knows it's the God of Holy Scripture that really made us what we are today. He can only be a instrument in the hand of the Almighty. And so I'd like to tell Frank the biggest fool is the people that say there is no God. Or also you can take that verse to mean when people say, no God, not that, no God. So there's the biggest fools.
All right, we
got you.
According
to the Holy Bible, you're not right in your mind. You are foolish if you don't believe in the God of Holy Writ.
No, so, when you said you were not right in your mind, I thought you were talking about Mark.
No. No, I think by the election, he'll be ready to vote common sense, which means Trump if there's no one better. If there's no one else comes out better, we're not there yet. Someone else could come out and run, but so far, it's not even a toss-up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, thank you so much,
Dan. All
right,
you guys have a great one. Good
talking. Take care, Dan.
Appreciate the call.
Good program again today.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yep. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That is 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line, we are talking about the President of the United States, Donald John Trump. What's your view on him? Is he a racist or not, I guess, is where Joe and I got stuck a couple of minutes ago. And we have two emails related to that, and they were sent to onthemark@wkwk.com. We'll read those in a moment. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. We want you to know that if there is not a Ford, a Hyundai, a Kia, or a Lincoln that fits your precise specifications down at the Sunbury Motors Company lot or over on the Kia dealer's lot on Routes 11 and 15, you just say to your good salesperson, we would like to go to SunburyMotors.com with you. Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to my precise specifications. I'm going to build for Joe a Ford Expedition that has the sunroof that goes from front to back, that has the automatic lift kit on it and the trailer hitch, even though he doesn't have anything to haul right at the moment. But he could have that vehicle, all-wheel drive with leather seats.
I wanted the Lincoln Navigator. Why do you have trouble understanding
that?
Oh,
okay. We're putting you back in the Navigator. I'll take your Expedition. And we're going to give Matt a Hyundai Sonata since his lovely bride is in a family way. That means the Kia Sorento is going to go to Rob's center, so he's got lots of room to haul the dog wherever they go. And your Lincoln Navigator is on order, so you just stand by. That is in the mail. So
in the mail.
But we invite you.
Going to break the postman's back on that one.
But I'll tell you what, when she gets at your doorstep, she'll be relieved.
I bet.
They brought a Navigator for Joe. But I'll tell you what, they can take good care of you. If there is a vehicle of your dreams, they can make it happen. Mine's the Ford Ranger Raptor. We're going to get that next year that has it all tricked out with everything we need. And the bottom line is, though, SunburyMotors.com. They can take good care of you. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across from me, and he and I are on opposite sides of
almost
many important issues. But Joe is occasionally right. I'm often right. Mr. Matt Cotrillo, to the best of my knowledge, has no viewpoints on any political topic that he's expressed that I've ever heard. He is our producer today. Rob Center is there on the other side of the glass. His political leanings are toward the Phillies.
Rob Center is not here.
No, when he is there, his leanings go toward the Phillies. So if it's bad for the Phillies, it's bad for the world. If it's good for the Phillies, it's good for him. Well, and the Eagles, too.
Okay, well, Joe's taking you to task here. He says, Mark and Joe, Mark, you have unfortunately given into the propaganda of the left and continue to call Republicans, President Trump, names when you don't like them. As long as we continue to call people names and make things personal, we will never see Republicans and Democrats work together to get things done. Why don't we all vow to take one day and not say anything negative about anyone else? One day may turn into two, and so on. Signed, Joe. Good point.
All right. That's, well, the president is a buffoon, and everybody knows.
Well, there you've just lost day one right out of the box. The president.
No, this is not that day. No, come on, Joe. This isn't the day. Please.
Obviously not. If you're going to start calling the president a buffoon, and I submit to you, you have really no grounds for that.
Oh, brother.
All right. Another writer says, Mark, do you remember the war-torn Muslims were going to send 100,000 Muslims to America? Trump stopped it because 80% plus of them were men in their teens and 20s. There was no way to weed out the radicals. Trump put a ban to straighten out the Obama-Hillary mess. They have all people meet the requirements, then have all people meet the requirements to enter this great country. So they were coming in from countries that weren't vetted, right, and they had, most of them were young men, and that's what he was trying to
balance. I don't remember that. Well, and I've said a couple times, I don't mind that the U.S. immigration laws are being enforced. That doesn't bother me. The President Trump's order the other day that, I guess, enhances existing laws. I don't think that's unsatisfactory. I know there are some people who say if you do that, it'll have a chilling effect and blah, blah, blah. But if you're going to come to the U.S., I don't think being a productive citizen is I mean, I missed that offensive aspect of that. It doesn't bother me.
What he was trying to say the other day is the Trump administration announced a sweeping rule change on money that makes it harder for immigrants using or deemed likely to use public benefits such as food stamps, housing vouchers, and Medicaid to obtain a green card and American citizenship. Now, I think that's kind of subjective. You know, there are parts of that I think you could say...
It's completely subjective. Well, it is. In fact, it is by its rule completely subjective. But there is evidence that they can go by when they make their subjective decision.
Well, sure. I'm sure there's empirical data that would tend to indicate people who do this are more likely to do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And so that's not an unreasonable thing, is it?
I didn't say
should
it was.
Should we bring people into this country who are going to be a drain on it or bring people into this country
it's
who
not even a new rule, right?
Not entirely, no.
Okay.
It's a new, perhaps a slight and different interpretation.
What's the difference? Well, compare and contrast the two differences.
Well, I'm not certain that I understand completely, but it said a sweeping rule change. But what it doesn't say in the story is how the rule has changed.
Okay.
I think some of these things were in place. I suspect it's just a matter. Remember the president sending out an executive order, merely tells the administration's employees how that law is to be enforced. So I suspect that what he's done is placed emphasis on looking for the fact that people who might use services should be less likely to be granted a green card than those who aren't. But, you know, if you're working and you're a productive citizen in this country, I still think we've got to address the total issue. And I've said before, I'm not, and I guess this puts me at odds with a lot of conservatives, I'm not at all opposed to giving the illegal immigrants who are here some sort of pathway to citizenship if they are productive, if they have assimilated.
The ones that are already working and living
here. If they're here and they can assimilate into our society, they speak the language, they're working, they're productive. Why shouldn't we give them a pathway to citizenship? They are the kind of people we want here.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like, then, is just continuing to let the border wide open so that more people come dancing across.
Well,
so for me to give you that,
the border open?
Well, if you don't want to build the wall and you don't want to put up a barrier and you don't want to make it harder for people to get in, like the president has tried to do, and you don't want additional border security, then that's exactly what you're doing.
Okay. Well, I'm not opposed to any of the things you just mentioned. I told you before the wall's a good idea, if only for homeland security. Skip the fact that, you know, the president thinks the bad rapists are coming from, you know, going through porous borders. What about people with bombs or things, or dirty bombs or things like that coming in the U.S.? And I think a lot of the people coming over the Mexican border are not Mexican.
Look,
you know, they're from Honduras or they're from overseas.
Right, and they supposedly want asylum, but they are passing a country where they would be perfectly safe, Mexico.
Well, they're not the U.S. Mexico is not the U.S., in case you haven't heard.
No, but the rule is you come to the first country where you will be safe.
Well,
Mexico is
offered
them.
These are people from Europe.
Why are they coming through Mexico?
Because they know they can get in that way.
And why can they get in that way? Because the border is porous. Like a sieve.
You and I are actually arguing the same side of this argument,
right.
So let's move on.
All right. Well, we definitely need to do something in that regard. But my point was, I don't have any problem with finding some sort of a long-term solution that includes citizenship for those people who are here,
wow,
assimilating, working, and not likely to be a drain on our society. But why should we bring in people who have an immediate need for welfare when we have pressing needs in our own?
It's not even an immediate need. It's an eventual apparent need also. I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying these judges that are making the discretionary decision are doing a sort of a finding of fact, which has to do with whether the person, not only were they going to use welfare right away,
okay,
but are they going to use it later?
Well, let's say this. You're facing somebody who's come across the border from some country south of us. And they're admittedly a person of color, because that's probably most of the people down there are. They've come in, and they don't speak English.
White guys from Ohio don't try to sneak in through Mexico.
They don't speak English. They have no particular skill set. So is it unreasonable to say that they are likely to become a drain on our economy?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't retrain them because they don't speak our language in the first place. So is that an unreasonable thing to say, that this person may well be a drain on our economy rather than a contributor to enhancing it?
I think that's okay. And I think you can have assimilation tendencies that are obvious. If the individual expresses an interest in learning English and does so, then I think that is...
And that's one thing I would spend money on. Any immigrant who's
English
here and wants to learn
language.
To speak English, no, English is their first language. But if they have to teach it to
them,
no,
they've already learned. It refers to the one they've already learned, not which one.
I want English as their primary.
Okay, well, we have to go to Mexico or Honduras or France or wherever they're coming from to teach it there.
Well, I mean, if I went to France and expected to make a living there, and you know, wanted to,
hey, what's wrong with you people? I need English translations.
I would not expect them to speak my language. I would expect me to learn theirs.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take speedy dialers as we inch towards the top of the hour. We will have an open phones argument tomorrow, and then on Friday, Steve Kushloff and Ben Reichle will be on WDKOK's On the Mark program. Monday, Dr. Jennifer Rager-K, David Rowe, and Claire Moyer will be back for a 50-minute discussion live with all three of them in the room. So we're looking forward to that Monday morning, and we'll do a little compare and contrast to make sure voters are 100% clear what the differences between them are. You can call us right now, 1-800-795-9565.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sorento.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires D31-19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
By Friday, I'll remember to push the bumpers. Oh, if you are doing the console Friday, you have to push OTM bumps, okay? I'll forget to tell them later. I'm talking to our good producer, Matt Catrillo, who's done a fabulous job.
You stick notes all over everything. Put a note on the monitor.
Push OTM bumps. Yeah, I can even put an arrow since nobody uses this computer for anything
else. I'll try to remember myself, too.
Thank you.
All right, perfect. You're a good man over there.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you about the President Trump's racism, so you're off the hook.
Well, I think that our writers have brought up some good points. You know, I think it's awfully easy to call the president names, and I agree with you completely. He brings a lot of it on himself. I saw this morning a story on CNN, on their website. President made 32 false statements last week, and that's down from the 56 he made the week before.
Fact-checking the president wasn't a science that even existed until President Trump came on board. Now AP has a fact-check.
Do they? Every word he says?
No. After every major speech, not like the chopper thing where he does, or campaign speeches, but if he's doing like his White House function, this thing that was on AP yesterday almost reads like a commentary. I don't know if you
sent it out
last
night. Well, they aren't doing this for Joe Biden, who's made quite a few gaffes in the past few weeks. So.
We should read those tomorrow.
I mean, if you talk about two guys who like to stick their foot in their mouth, I think we have two guys, one who is president and one who's running for president, who do that from time to time.
What did Biden say? He met the Parkland students while he was vice president. Even though the shooting hadn't happened yet?
Right.
Oops.
He did meet with some of them as a private citizen, but he didn't meet with anybody as
since
vice president.
Then. Yeah. Well, and he also met with students from...
Well, and then the comment that, children of poor children are
the
just
other.
As smart as white kids. What kind of a crack is that?
Phone's ringing, Matt. I thought you might get a chuckle from the bumper sticker. Apply how you will. Elect a clown, expect a circus. elect a buffoon, expect buffoonery. I like that.
Oh, my. You and our writer there are... Two of a kind. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, we're some of the smartest people in the world. Well, she might not feel that way. She just saw the bumper sticker.
Right.
Who knows? All right. Thank you, everybody.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
We'll be back with a intellectually uplifting show tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunbury.